name is Dr. Danielle LaRocca-Rina, and it's a pleasure to join you today. And we have a hot topic for you today, which is sourcing, that is identifying and then recruiting best practices for divisions and for other academic positions. I want to introduce a panel. You'll see a number of people on the panel, but specifically we will have Mr. Mark Lozano, who will be commenting. And then I've asked our fearless leader, Bruder Stapleton, to also comment on some areas. And again, this is meant to be a conversation and free flowing. I'd like to first introduce this topic in the following way. Many of us have been in academia for a very long time, so we have various experiences in terms of identifying individuals, and we are committed to a diverse and inclusive process, but we've really evolved in our processes. So a caveat to this is that we would like to survey how well we're doing, and we're not presenting those data now, but how well are we doing in increased cognitive diversity, racial, ethnic, gender diversity, whole host of other things. And so I'm going to be posing some questions to our panelists, but would also ask that you specifically integrate your comments in how, as we evolve in getting quality in our searches, how you've integrated through social media or other mechanisms the focus on inclusion. So since social media is really hot, I'm going to begin with Mr. Mark Lozano and ask, what are the ways that, let's say we are doing a recruitment for division chiefs, what are the ways that we can intentionally broadcast and in a equitable way that is consistent with law, right? Non-discriminatory, actually display our interest in having a wide candidate pool. Can you share with us some of the social media tools that could be useful in that process?
Thank you, Danielle. Yeah, we're fortunate, I think, in our space that there are tools specifically geared toward healthcare, and then there's broader tools from a social media aspect. The two tools that come to mind that we use most frequently are LinkedIn, which is a large professional network. It allows you to access candidates based on experience. The quality of the list you're able to cultivate from that is really dependent on the quality of the information. Everybody lists a different, degree of specificity as far as what their background is. Some are more general, more broad, but it does allow us to access candidates. So when those general searches, once we have a charge from the chair or the executive group that our team that we're working with, we're able to develop lists and really just develop candidate pools that are extremely diverse, whether it be gender, ethnicity, and then be able to broadcast messaging around the specific chief roles or leadership roles that we're representing to that group, make them aware of what we're working on, pursue a follow-up conversation if there's interest. The other platform that we use fairly consistently is Doximity, which is geared specifically toward healthcare. That platform allows you to filter by background, training, title. So once again, you have a good understanding of from your executive group of what you're looking for, you can really target specific groups and develop lists and then personalize messaging around that. So those tools are extremely helpful. Absolutely.
Does anyone want to weigh in their experience in terms of use or non-use of social media as a way to source a candidate pool?
We really, in my time as chair, didn't utilize social media so much. And I might say we advertised and tried to advertise where we knew a diverse group and would have visibility of the position. I mean, I think one of the advantages of having a search consultant, you know, as part of a search is that they have very rich databases in which to contact and send information. They, for instance, they may have a list of all of the minority specialists in an area that they can send specific information to, not leave to a chance. The other thing is that most of the top candidates that we recruited didn't respond to an advertisement. And I was going to say that, you know, making people aware of the position is very important, but a personal contact is really the key to getting the best candidates. And you ask about earlier about organization in our conversations about organizations. Many a chair is usually mostly involved in forming search committees and recruiting division heads. And the division heads usually are leading the faculty recruits. It's always important to stay in touch to know where the upcoming talent is, particularly if they've got outstanding fellows to recruit to. But most specialty societies have open position posting, and those is, I think, very helpful. And now the SBR and APS list open positions too, and posting there. First of all, it's really important to be in the mix. I talked with somebody from Microsoft once, and they send people to the schools, and they get to know people who are up and coming. And the PAS and the AAP and the specialty society meetings are where the top people for leadership positions frequently are found, and being visible and utilizing those opportunities for networking has always been important to me. Looking at people who are in leadership positions who may not either that are up and coming or just emerging as leaders in societies, and the American Board of Pediatrics subspecialty committees, the leadership in specific, for instance, for me, the American Society of Pediatric Nephrology, looking at who's participated in the leadership development programs, making sure that people you know are both interested in receiving training and are emerging as leaders, as society leaders. Those are all ways that I have used to identify candidates and make available to the search committees. And there's nothing beats a call.
Absolutely. But I'd like to hone in for a minute, since we're in the 21st century. And I have to tell you that the ways we've communicated in the past for perhaps our cohort, and we may be representing a couple of cohorts here, but I wanted to hear Craig's comments and then Valerie's comments. And we've gone from being formal to informal on a first name basis, just for our folks to know that we know each other very well. And otherwise, if we were in formal situations, we would certainly say Dr. Hellemeyer and Dr. Opokpari, but we have gotten informal, so forgive us. But Craig, would you like to comment with respect to social media? Because I really wanted to focus in on this, and then I'll go back to Bruder in terms of organizational things. And keep in mind, the topic here is also to be more inclusive. So I'd like you to integrate in your responses how the use of whatever you're going to, share with us actually has that equity lens, meaning that you're looking at the applicant pool as broadly as possible, because we know that in our efforts in the past, we've maybe not done that as successfully. So Craig, go ahead, please, your comments.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I want to say I think that Bruder had a lot of really good points, and most of them I think I don't really need to repeat. I do think that personal contacts are one of the ways that you have to pursue. And telephone calls mean a lot, and going to society meetings mean a lot. It's also possible that electronic media can make sure that you have the opportunity to really get a large, inclusive audience for your message. And I think that the fact that search firms can actually be more helpful in that, because many of these media that we use to reach the groups of individuals that we want to reach change over time. And I think that oftentimes search firms, or sometimes actually occasionally we would even use strategic services within the institution or the university in which we're working, can be a way to make sure that we're reaching those people appropriately, because no individual who doesn't spend their whole life dealing with it all the time is going to really know what audiences are really getting the message from what particular messages that are sent out.
So. Valerie.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of great points that have been made. But with regards to equity and inclusion, I think one of the things that's most important is from the get-go, the materials that are going to be posted on whatever social media or LinkedIn application distributed to faculty to post at meetings or to hand out at meetings, they have to all be vetted and carefully written ahead of time and include the appropriate information, not just about the position, but the commitment to finding a broad, inclusive pool. And the materials and the phone calls, if they're not the same, if you're, you know, people are going ad hoc and making phone calls to individuals and providing information that's outside of the agreed upon information for the position, that can actually seriously undermine the belief by some individuals that the process has not been equitable. So I agree with all the points that have been made, but I think it's part of having a structure that oftentimes, again, a search committee can provide you or a search consultant can provide you that says, okay, you know, we want you to broadly go out, but these are the materials we've all agreed that will be shared with all candidates we approach so that you can ensure that that process is equitable and fair and inclusive to everybody.
Thank you, Valerie, for pointing that out, because we know that the devil is in the details and how things are seen. Bob Sowen, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I wondered whether in general pediatrics or other specialty areas in pediatrics, whether there aren't groups of underrepresented minorities within that specialty. I know in surgery, for example, there's a Society for Black Academic Surgeons, which is a really robust group and can, I think, play a very important role in reaching out to minority candidates for leadership in academic surgery. And I wonder whether there aren't similar organizations in other parts of pediatric medicine.
I think you touched upon what I was going to link back to, which is the question. So thank you so much, because you're exactly right, that within organizations, and I'm going to point to a few of them because I've been involved, I co-chaired the AAP Task Force on Diversity and Inclusion, and that included a clear focus on workforce diversity. Of course, I think all of us are part of the APS, and CODI, which is the Committee on Diversity and Inclusion, I was a founding member of that. And that is exactly what I was going to point to, is that in fact, within organizations, there are usually some subset of that organization that, and the organization mission statement may, you know, certainly pointed out that there's a focus on this and how to network within those areas. So I'm going to start with Bruder, because he has certainly championed this at APS, and how we actually maximize our ability to network in an equitable way, which is what Valerie has pointed us to, that if we make those specific calls, but it's with our buddies, and we're all guilty of this, so it's not to point fingers, okay? But how do we intentionally be more inclusive in our searches? And of course, we started with Mark, who was giving us in terms of the search, you know, professional search capabilities of making sure we have a broad applicant pool is what we're committed to. But how do those processes go forward in a way that really gives us the outcome that we want, which is quality, excellence, and pulling the candidate pool that really provides that. So Bruder, maybe you can start us off.
Well, a lot of the contact points have been made in terms of, and Bob is exactly right. And for instance, the American Society of Pediatric Nephrology has a JEDI committee, and they have a very robust group of pediatric nephrologists of all ranks, and for them, they're very much interested in learning about open positions and that sort of thing. I was also with you on CODI, and I know that you know, letting people know about the position on CODI is important. I go back a little bit though to the personal commitment. First of all, the person heading the search and the chair to the search committee chair has to say diversity is important and necessary for me to approve, you know, the candidate. We have to have a diverse and inclusive, and I want to know your plan. Secondly, letting people on a committee or the committee chair of JEDI know about a position by sending an email is good and asking them to circulate it. But I go back to the personal giving them a call and saying, you know, this is a position that, you know, what the position's about, and who do you know that would be ready or be interested that we could contact? It's always easy to say you're doing your job by sending people information, but without making the phone calls, without personally looking into it, you know, you really haven't done. And I found also that, you know, people are reluctant sometimes to respond to ads, but when you call and talk to them, you know, they can ask questions and get a clearer idea of whether this would be something they might be interested in or not. So I think, you know, the areas of contact are there, the academy, the board, the societies, but going to those committees and sending information alone is not going to necessarily get the response that you want. But I think it starts with the commitment at the top, you know, whoever's in charge of the search saying this is a critical component and we're going to at every aspect of this be looking at inclusion and appropriate communications. And I want to see the plan and hear about, you know, how you really pursue that plan to get the best candidates in a diverse candidate pool.
Great. Before I go to Chris, I want to comment. So one, leadership matters in terms of getting the outcomes that you want, is your point. I do want to point out, and my colleague Renee Jenkins is not here to join in the conversation, but Renee and I both are members of the National Medical Association. And of course, there's the National Hispanic Association and National Asian Association. The networking there and bi-directional communication is something that I think Renee probably would have added, and I add to this conversation, that yes, it's APS because we've achieved our academic sort of achievements and focused areas are within our specialty areas, you know, the AAP, for me, it was the APA, the Academic Pediatric Association, and then the subcommittees that have that, but that the NMA is the national organization that has led from the beginning of segregation of academia, has led in terms of support of a diverse applicant pool, okay? And now, Chris, love to hear your comments.
Well, this goes back a little bit to the issues we talked about with social media. I just wanted to make a point that I've observed in the last couple of years with the pandemic. And, you know, talking about the person-to-person contacts, the phone calls, the way networking is done, has been done, I think has fundamentally changed because of, you know, yeah, several of our organizations that have gone, you know, to virtual meetings and have stuck with it, or hybrid meetings and so forth. And the reason when it comes to recruiting candidates or getting a prospective pool of candidates, which I think we're going to touch on, it's been remarkable to me that at the PAS meeting, for example, when it went totally virtual, well, canceled and virtual and all of that, it suddenly developed this, you know, sort of like a Twitter fest. I don't know. It was like all the social media that went along the column on the virtual page, which continued when we had the in-person meeting. And some of that was about jobs, and where, you know, it used to be the paper job board, you know, and people would collect there and then talk at the receptions and so forth. I think there's an opportunity there to, especially for leaders, you're looking for a division chief, a chair, you know, faculty positions and so forth, to really use that communication, learn how to use it better, especially at meetings, but also at committees. The board is now doing almost all hybrid meetings and things like that, to learn the language and to recruit people who wouldn't have even really thought about a leadership position, didn't even know it was open or didn't think that they would be considered or qualified. I just think it opens doors for us to think about, especially in establishing prospective candidate pools, which I think we definitely all have agreed on that we need to do, you know, to start a search and then go look for people. You know, it's great to have a pool that you can tap into through all of the mechanisms that you all have just talked about. So anyway, I'll just say that I think the pandemic a couple good things came about, and I think that's one of them, that we learned how to use social media and some of our personal communications with prospective candidates, et cetera, in a different way. And we could build on that.
Wesley, you put your hand up so that I'll circle back to you, because I think that there are tools, and thank you, Chris, for those comments, that we did learn some key lessons from the pandemic, right? And in fact, I would say my communications personally, anecdotally, with a number of colleagues across the country from all walks of life has been electronic and virtual. So how do we translate that to supporting vision of a more inclusive environment? So Wesley, do you want to comment?
Sure. Thank you, Danielle. And I just wanted to offer a different perspective on the same topic, if I could. And really specific to other conversations we've had as a group, other conversations we have with clients around the country about what a diverse search really means in academic pediatrics. Because in all honesty, we as a firm go to every, if it's a nephrology division chief search, we're going to go to every division in the country and break out all their people. And the benefit of pediatrics, if you're a department of pediatrics doing a search internally yourself, or if you're using a firm, there's not that many subspecialists in pediatrics. It's not like you're doing a data science search and there's 100,000 people that are potential candidates for the job. So, you know, if you do that, you very easily can get to who the pool is, right? I mean, when I started in this business, social media was a telephone, right? So you had to navigate through the nurses and the office staff to try to get somebody to call you back to talk about an opportunity. And so when I hear the comments about how we've evolved to Twitter and Snapchat, and I agree with that. I think they all have become ways of connecting with a candidate to talk about an opportunity. But all a search committee can do, or all we can do, is, you know, if the pool of applicants for a rheumatology division chief is X, you know, our goal is to get to a no with every potential applicant in that pool, in all the ways we've talked about. But if you've actually talked to every candidate that's qualified for a division chief search in the United States, Canada, and maybe globally, you at least know that you've done everything you can to do a diverse search, because you've talked to those people, they've told you yes or no. I think oftentimes in academic medicine, we rest on just running ads and responding that, or we rest on just the five people the search committee might know, you know, the five people that might be recommended by the faculty, but we really aren't making the extra step through all the means that we're talking about here to contact every diverse person, you know, in a specialty and get to a no. Because from our earlier conversations, you probably will also run into potential diverse leaders who aren't ready yet, right? But a conversation with them about, here are some things you might think about to get ready. And that may then enhance the pool by one in a year, you know? And so I think those are just some thoughts from the side of how committees and how departments could really probably do a better job from a sourcing perspective to at the end of a process. No, it's been a diverse a process that supports diverse outcomes. So thank you.
Thank you, Wesley. I think you pointed out something that I think we know, but you just kind of emphasized it, that it's the process itself matters, meaning that if you've touched base with every potential candidate, then you've not closed the door for anyone. Okay. And just that communication says, you know, you might be a candidate for this, can stimulate someone to think that they are within that pool of candidates to be considered. And I think that's a powerful message. So really, thank you for saying that. I'll give you an example that I've You know, both Renee and I are part of this, and Renee was the first, and to date, I believe the only African-American woman to lead the AAP. And to date, I'm the only one to have led the APA. And a colleague of mine said something, who is fabulously prepared, said, when I saw you in that position, I thought it was doable for me. And so the idea that we intentionally say to people, of course you're in the applicant pool, and what do you need? You may be there, you may need additional support. What is it that we can do to say that everyone is included? So I open the floor. I don't know if Arnie and others may want to comment. You've been at this a very long time, and your wisdom is always very much appreciated.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think I would like to make 3 points. First, how the search comes out depends very much on how it starts. And I think it has to start with the responsible leader being very clear and very open and very involved in selecting the members of the search committee and giving them the correct charge. And it starts even before that, because that leader, if that leader has established a reputation for inclusiveness, then the search committee will understand that and identify with that and make sure that that's part of their process. And if that leader has not, it won't happen. So I think the leader and the charge are crucial. The composition of the search committee, I also think, is crucial. You need to have people who have expertise in the area. I've often seen search committees, especially for department chairs, where nobody from the department is part of the search committee. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You have to have people who understand the field and know the people in the field in order to get an expert and to know who the diverse candidates are, no matter how that's defined. But then I want to make the third point that Bruder made. It's personal contact. Every time I've been recruited, it's been because someone I respected, knew, called me and said, I, your friend, think you would be a very good, and that gets you, as you just said, Danielle, gets you thinking and said, well, you know, maybe I wasn't thinking of leaving my current job, but you know, I know Jeff, and Jeff thinks this is the right job for me. So the personal contact, I think, is crucial. It doesn't help to have a big pool if the people in the pool are not interested in the job. You have to have people who enter the pool because they're knowledgeable, interested, and have been contacted. And to be successful, that personal contact up front in the beginning is crucial to make it happen.
Thank you for those concluding remarks. Then I'll say that what I've heard from our discussion is, first of all, this is an evolution in the 21st century, how we can continuously get better at this. That I think Valerie pointed out that we need to be careful about our own biases, because that may lead us down a pathway of looking only at those candidates that we think about and not be inclusive. But then I heard important messages about leadership, setting the tone for how we begin a search. And as Arnie said, and I think you didn't use the word, but I think that's what you were telling us, genuine interest in that individual, because that sets the stage for interest in becoming a member of that department or leading that department in whatever way. And that genuine interest translates to intentionality, that we intend, we have strategic planning, and we intend to do this in a quality way that really supports our ultimate aim of having the best department, the best division chief, and really feeling supportive of those people's career trajectory. So thank you all. I think we could probably end here, but this is just the beginning of ongoing conversation about where Mark started us off, is how we use the tools that are available to us in the 21st century and how we use those tools in intentional ways, but very equitable ways to really support our searches. So thank you, colleagues, for participating in this conversation.